Blog Talk Radio.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold.
You're listening to Step Into the Light with Patty Sheen.
Who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes his own.
This is the show where Christians share their walk from darkness down a sometimes long and lonely path to the light of healing and fulfillment through faith.
Seek out the hopeless, confused and torn, and hold out your candle for all to see. Take your candle and go light your world.
Right here on Blog Talk Radio. Abuse, debt, divorce, addiction, fear, guilt, heartbreak, illness, loneliness, loss of a loved one, rejection. All of these circumstances cast shadows across the paths of our lives. On this show, you will hear stories and testimonies of people just like us who have followed God's guidance out of all the gloom of those dark places. Welcome to Step Into the Light. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. Thanks for joining me for this ninth episode right here on Blog Talk Radio on the 10th day of November, 2015. I know that some of our listeners come into the show and are unable to stay for the entire show and would maybe like to find it again. So I'm going to tell you how you can do that. Go to my website, which is www.pattysheen.com. That's spelled P-A-T-T-I-S-H-E-N-E. On the very first page on the site, you will find a link to this week's show. However, if time goes by and you don't get to listen to it right away, there's also a Blog Talk Radio tab on the site, and there is an archived shows page, and you will find all of our shows that we have broadcast and a link to them right there. So if you can't stay with us this morning, we hope that you'll come back. Well, tomorrow is Veterans Day here in the United States. This is the day when we pay our respects and offer thanks to our veterans who have served in the United States Army, the Navy, the Marine Corps, the Air Force, and the Coast Guard. So if there's a Veterans Day program in your area, I encourage you to attend. If not, be sure to thank a veteran you may know for his or her service, maybe a relative, a neighbor, a member of your church family. One of the most important ways we can help our veterans is to pray for them and their families. So many of our vets struggle with not only physical wounds, but mental and emotional scars that make it difficult for them to return to a normal life. I want to make you aware of a program entitled Wreaths Across America. Their mission, Remember, Honor, Teach, is carried out in part by coordinating wreath-laying ceremonies on a specific Saturday in December. This year it happens to be the 12th of December at Arlington, as well as veterans' cemeteries and other locations in all 50 states. Ceremonies are held at sea and 24 national cemeteries on foreign soil. For more about this program, go to www.wreaths.com. Like Christmas wreaths, W-R-E-A-T-H-S, acrossamerica.org. However, if you happen to be listening to the show and you live here in the Los Animas area, I am strongly encouraging you to please, well, you can contact me at patty.sheen@gmail.com. I have a copy of the needed form, and of course, we would greatly appreciate local folks ordering their wreaths through our local VFW here in town. Want to remind our guests that Operation Christmas Child collection will be the 16th through the 23rd of November. I really don't have time to go into the program here if you haven't heard of it. But yesterday, a friend from here in town and I did a segment on our local radio station about Operation Christmas Child, gave quite a bit of information about it, and there is a podcast that can be found at www.theavbridge.com. avbridge.com, A-V as in Arkansas Valley, bridge as in the Brooklyn Bridge. So that's the avbridge.com. I would encourage you to check it out and find out what that program is all about, because it is definitely a very worthwhile program for children all over the world. Help spread the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. So this morning we have a very special guest. Her name is Stephanie Schuerman. Stephanie happens to be an author. She is also the founder of Dwelling Place Ministries. She teaches and also speaks nationally as well as internationally. She lives in Golden, Colorado with her family. Welcome this morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, Patty. Thank you very much.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here, Steph. And from what I've read, I know you've been involved in ministry for a number of years, and I'd like to know what led you to this career choice.
Well, that's a very good question. And I would love to say that anything for Operation Christmas Child is totally worth your time.
Awesome.
I have done that in the past, and I love it. And it's so much fun to fill the boxes, but also to pray over the boxes as you're filling the boxes, because you know that that is really going to go and impact a child. And it's just fun. You will come away feeling way more full than what you gave. So,
exactly.
Yeah. And actually, I consider what I do just a lifestyle, not really a career. But it was always my life. I grew up in church. My parents were pastors. I grew up around ministry. My parents actually owned a Christian bookstore, and so I just always understood it, always knew it, always lived in it. And then as I got older, got married, realized, wait, this is where my true heart is. This is what I do. This is you can go away for something for a little bit, but when it's your life, you can't escape it. It's who you are. So that's what I do now is very much what the Lord has just led me and trained me in all my life. And so it's been a wonderful journey with Him.
Well, that's neat. It just sounds like you found your niche and the Lord pointed you to it and you said, okay.
Exactly.
Good.
Yes.
Stephanie, you founded Dwelling Place Ministries a few years ago. I think it's been about 4 years now, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And I know you hold conferences in your local area, in the Denver area. What topics are addressed at the conferences?
Yeah, it's almost been 5 years now. We're right at the edge of 5 years. And when the Lord had taken me out of a wonderful ministry that I had been involved with for about 10 years, and he seemed to say, you've got to learn this on your own now and find your way. And so that was what I did. And so after my pastor and his wife blessed me and sent me out into ministry on my own, it was kind of a big world out there. But I've stayed in relationship with them, and I actually have rebuilt a wonderful relationship with them. I mean, a partnership with them. And they are just a huge blessing in my life. Dwelling Place, so Dwelling Place became a ministry where we brought in, there were different speakers who would come through town and get in contact with me. And I had met up with a couple of authors who had written a book on dreams, Adrian Beale and Adam Thompson. And so they were from Australia, and I believe we were their first, one of their first. We weren't their first. They were in Canada as well, but they did a conference for us here in the Denver area. Since then, we've done 4 conferences with them on the subject of dreams and how God speaks to us through dreams, and how we can learn to interpret our dreams through God glasses instead of thinking that oh my goodness, that must have been pizza, or oh, what is that was a crazy dream, or whatever that was. But it, instead, we want to get the message of the dream and ask the Lord what He's trying to say, because God has made us in such a way. We are brilliantly made. Our bodies are amazing. And there's thousands of books out there on dreams, especially from men like Freud and Jung. And nobody really can explain how science, I've been doing a whole lot of study on the science of dreams, and they can say how you dream, how you sleep, and why you sleep, and why you, you know, how your body processes, but they cannot figure out how you get a brilliant storyline in a dream that actually can have significance. It can attach to your emotions, and it can even change your life. So I believe that is a God-given dream. So that is what we started doing conferences on, and we do a lot of different conferences, but that's my favorite.
That is neat, Stephanie. I've always found dreams to be a very fascinating subject myself. I can't recall any really cool dreams that I had lately. I'm one of those people who says I don't remember my dreams very often, although if I recall correctly, isn't it 6 dreams a night that everybody has if you have a normal sleep cycle? I believe it's 6.
At least, and it can be many more than that. I know our body processes. I feel like a lot of our dreams are processes, you know, or we're processing things from the day or whatever. But there are some people who dream from the second they fall asleep to the second they wake up in the morning, and they remember all of their dreams, which is quite stunning. I don't do that. I seem to remember one dream. I'll start to remember one dream a night, and it'll be seasonally. I'll, for, you know, 2 or 3 months, I'll remember the dream, and then I'll write them down, and then I won't have any dreams that I remember for a very long time. And now I'm always asking for a dream, so I'm frustrated when I don't get dreams.
Yeah, but, and they only last for a few seconds too, if I recall, which sometimes your dream seems like it lasts all night long.
Yes, right. It is fascinating. It is fascinating.
Yes.
We really are brilliantly made.
Definitely. You enjoy leading Bible classes that teach subjects that are, I believe you said on your website, not normally taught, unless that was my wording. I don't remember, but I know some of your subjects are kind of unusual, not so much unusual, but just not very often touched on in Bible studies. Could you give us an example of a couple of them?
Yeah, right now I'm teaching a book class on Revelation, and I try to teach this book twice a year. Many people totally avoid the book of Revelation because they feel it's either not relevant, or they're scared to death of it, or they can't understand it. Yeah, and so many years ago, I was in the Assemblies of God Church for a lot of years, I taught it, you know, the way that the Assemblies of God teaches it. But I had so many questions when I was finished. I was like, I have got to take time at some point and dive into this. Well, years passed, and I had the opportunity to really dive into it again and began to study basically by just reading the book over and over and over. And the Lord doesn't want us to have a spirit of fear. And in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, God commands us not to be fearful of what is going to happen. And then He blesses us for reading the book of Revelation. So I really took on a serious look at the book of Revelation, because I do believe it is something that we are walking into. We're walking into those days, and we want to be ready for it and be prepared. And I think our God is a good God, and where it's going to be a terrible day for those who hate God and who shake their fist at God and who hate righteousness, it's going to be a wonderful day for the believers and for those of us who love the Lord and we look for His returning. So I spun it around in my own mind, where it's not a negative book, it's a positive book. And I teach it from that perspective. What's at the end of the story is so fantastic, and we can do this. We're going to get there. We're going to make it through, and we are going to see our Redeemer because he lives.
Definitely.
So, yeah.
I know one of the things I find fascinating, I've probably read the Bible through, I don't know, 3, maybe 4 times, completely through. Now I'm reading it through again, and I'm reading it in the Life Application Study Bible, which a dear friend of mine loaned
Excellent.
Me, and I have loved it because it's got so many footnotes and it has really pulled a lot of things together. But when I read, I'm amazed at how much I don't remember. For example, the book of Matthew, I'm finally made it to the New Testament. Finally, I'm doing that Bible in a year thing, and it's taken me 3. And anyway, in Matthew, if someone had asked me, how does the book of Matthew begin, I probably would have said, oh, it's the birth and early life of Jesus. It doesn't at all. It begins with the genealogy of Jesus. Mark doesn't, is verses 1 through 17, that's all it is genealogy. Mark doesn't even address the birth of Jesus or his early life at all. Like, wow,
that's
I should
right.
remember these things, you know? So I'm kind of more acutely aware now of the things that I don't remember. Next time, though, I think I'm just going to pick up, like, the Message and just read through it.
Well, I highly commend
you. It gets tedious after a while, you know?
I commend you for reading through your Bible. That is, I believe, that is one of the things that is the most neglected thing of believers. And I started many, many years ago when I was in my early 20s. I had already read through the entire Bible once by the time I was 20, but in my early 20s, I began to read the Bible through once a year. I'm on my 35th time through right now, and I usually go through more than once a year because once you start the rhythm of listening to it or reading it, because now we have wonderful ways of listening to the Word, either through the internet. You can get onto BibleGateway.com and just listen to the Bible, or you can get I actually carry in my bookstore a small audio Bible that I just love. You can go on Amazon and purchase them. And you can listen through the Bible so easily. And it's just, it is such a fascinating book. We've been given such a gift. And I love the Word of God. I love the Word of God. Even the boring things, I find such value in them. And so I highly recommend anybody just dive in and get the version that you love. There's no rules. Just read.
Exactly.
And I love the Message Bible, the one that you were speaking of. And another one that has just now come out, which is so excellent, is called the Passion Translation. And it as well, it's from the Aramaic into English, and it is absolutely brilliant. I am loving this translation, and I'm reading through parts of it. It's not all complete yet, but it's out in different, you can buy about
segments.
10 of the books right now. Yeah, segments of it. Yeah, so it's fascinating.
Very good, very good. Well, I don't want to get too much off topic here, Stephanie, because I have a lot of questions still to ask you about yourself and your ministry. So, and time goes by so fast on this show. It's amazing. Tell us about fire camps, and I wonder if first, before fire camps, we might not address the fact that you do travel internationally to undertake mission work, and give us a little idea what countries have you visited and what needs do you meet there?
Yes. Well, about 10 years ago, I started doing fire camps with children mainly. And what we do in a fire camp, I just call it revival training. And what I believe revival is when Jesus comes close, because when Jesus comes close to us, everything changes. When we get close to, he said, when you draw nigh to me, I'll draw near to you. And that's the whole premise of a fire camp is let's just get near Jesus. And we do a lot of things, like we learn how to hear the voice of God and recognize that he is around us all the time and that the Spirit of God is around us and angels and that we can hear from him, hear his voice, and dreams, interpretation, all of that thing. It's all included. We teach this to children so adults can get it too. But so that's what I do in fire camp. And then I wrote the book, Here I Am, The One You Love. And the book, Here I Am, The One You Love, is basically fire camp in a book. And so, and I didn't realize that until about 2 years after I had already published the book. And one morning I was praying and the Lord said, Stephanie, Here I Am, The One You Love, is fire camp in a book. And I said, you're right. And so the Lord gave me the book so he can do what he can say whatever he wants about it. So so then I began to get invitations from other countries. And the first country I went to was India. And we traveled around India. We were mainly in Hyderabad, and we were there for about 5 weeks. And we did several fire camps there. We were in the dump, and we were in the HIV kids camp, and we were in we went to see the gypsies and to the leper colony. So we went all over the place. But one of the funnest fire camps that we did was in with the children that live in the dump, and that was one of the most life changing experiences of my life. These children who you would think have nothing to look forward to, when Jesus comes close, when the presence of God is with them, they are the happiest people on the planet. And we had so much fun just being with them, hugging every one of their necks. I'll never forget, we started a line and somebody was handing out a toy and somebody was handing out cookies. And so I was at the end, so I hugged every one of those kids. And as I'd hug them, some of those little boys would turn around and look. And I would say, come back, because I knew they just wanted another mom hug. And so it was one of the most precious times of my life. And then we also traveled in South India and did the same thing, basically. And then last year I was in South Africa. I was trying to get into Sierra Leone. And as you might remember, last year in West Africa, which is where Sierra Leone is, there was a huge outbreak of Ebola. I was hoping when I got into South Africa that by the time I spent my 2 weeks there that I was going to be, everything was going to be fine, and I was going to make it into West Africa. I had a ticket, my ticket canceled.
And out, second, helping.
Yeah, in and out. But I bought 3 tickets, all of them canceled. I couldn't, and realized I could not kick the door down. It was not God's timing right now to wait. And so this year I look forward to the opportunity to travel to Sierra Leone. Actually, January 2016, I'll be going.
But if I understand correctly, the Ebola outbreak has pretty much been contained, has it not?
Yes, and I just turned on the news last Saturday morning, and this is the only time I've heard this, but it said Sierra Leone has officially been declared free of Ebola.
Oh, praise God.
And I just laughed because I thought, oh, thank you, God.
Exactly.
Yes.
Stephanie, we've come to the point in our show where we take a little break. I call it a break. I really don't have any. Someday I'll have some commercials to put on here, but right now I don't. But what I do is I just kind of take a little break from our interview, and I make listeners aware of who they're listening to, because it is the nature of Blog Talk Radio for people to kind of come into the show and at different points, and they may wonder who they're listening to. So
absolutely.
For our listeners, you are listening to Step Into the Light with Patty Sheen. Our special guest today is Stephanie Sherman. Stephanie is an author. She is also a national and international speaker and teacher. We were just a few moments ago talking about her ministry overseas, and we have many other topics to talk to Stephanie about this morning. But first of all, I would like to make our listeners aware of where they can find her. She has a website, and it is entitled Dwelling Place Press. dwelling, as in where you live, dwelling, place, place, press, press, .com. She also has a Facebook page, and if you type in Stephanie Sherman, and it is last name is spelled S-C-H-U-R-E-M-A-N, first name Stephanie, S-T-E-P-H-A-N-I-E, and she also has another page called Dwelling Place Ministry and Books, and if you type in Dwelling Place on your Facebook search bar, you'll probably get it right away. She also has a bookstore, and for those of you who live in the general northern Colorado area, her bookstore is located in Wheat Ridge at 11413 North I-70 Frontage Road. It is located inside of a building entitled The Center, C-E-N-T-R-E. And I know you're not going to remember a thing I just told you, and therefore I'm going to direct you to my website, which is www.pattishene.com. There you will find a Blog Talk Radio tab, and there is a website and social media page there, and I have the contact information for all of my guests on that page. So if you've heard the show and you'd like to check out Stephanie's page and you can't for the life of you remember what it is, just try to remember my website, which is pattishene.com. That'll take you to hopefully everything you need to know about the show and about our guests, and you'll be able to find them again. So let's return to Stephanie and our conversation here. Stephanie, I have a question for you about your international ministry. Do you go with a team that also has medical people and so such?
Typically, I would go, yes, with a team. In India, we took about 10 people, about 5 people. And then when we get there, we are already involved with other ministries that we have relationships. So we're always in relationship with whoever we go to and whoever we're traveling with, of course. And and I traveled with, I don't know if you've ever heard of an organization called End Time Handmaidens. Gwen Shaw was the founder of that. I traveled with her team last year to South Africa, and they're just wonderful people who travel all over the world. Not necessarily medical, but in January, when I go to Sierra Leone, Peggy Cummings, the lady who is the missionary there, and she's with Joshua Nations, which is actually based out here in Arvada, Colorado. Peggy started out on mercy ships, and so that's how she began being a missionary. And when they were in Sierra Leone, she just began to build relationships, and she knew she just wanted to stay there and stay and be a missionary. So I'm going to go there. I would love to take a team. However, sure. She doesn't have a big vehicle where we can travel. And when we get to see her, when I get there, we're going to travel to at least 5 or 6 places, but up to 11 different areas across the country of Sierra Leone. And this is not in a nice, fancy vehicle, mm-hmm. nor do they have nice roads. So it's going to be quite an outback experience, but I'm looking forward to it. Whenever Jesus gives you the okay and says go, then it's going to be so much fun, and it'll be work, but it'll be fun. So I'm excited about it.
I can't imagine. That experience must be so totally rewarding.
Cannot
picture myself doing it, but.
I honestly, I never dreamed I would do this. So it has been a different time for me. And I just have to say, if Jesus tells you to do something, just say yes.
The yes was
in my heart. Yeah, and the yes was in my heart. And I know he would have taken a no. You know, he would have let me out of it. But the joy that comes from just seeing one child understand that they are deeply loved by God, and somebody will spend their own money and come clear across the world to see them and tell them about Jesus is worth it. It's worth it to me. So,
well, relating back to the Operation Christmas Child again, my partner over mm-hmm. there at the radio station yesterday when we did our interview said that someone she knows had gone down to whatever country it was where they distributed the boxes, and she said, you just can't describe the pure joy these kids experience in receiving something like a pencil and an eraser, a toothbrush.
Mm-hmm.
We are so spoiled in this country that it's mm-hmm. it's just, don't even
it's
get me
true.
On that soapbox.
It's true. We are blessed. Yes.
Definitely. Stephanie, you have spoken quite a bit this morning about all of the, speaking of joy, the joy and the satisfaction and the fulfillment you get out of what you do. But I'm sure that there have been dark times that you have experienced in ministry. What is one or maybe more of the darkest mm-hmm. times that you have experienced that has really just had you kind of totally bummed?
Well, yes, I can say yes to all of those questions. I have had very interesting times. I don't know if you've ever heard the saying that many times Christians hamstring their own mm-hmm. in the church. That can very well happen.
Yeah.
So I have witnessed a lot of things, and then I've also had a lot of things happen to me in ministry that is very discouraging and sad. And I decided, you know what? I will never, ever operate or participate with that kind of a thought process in church. I want to be a different type of believer and a different type of minister that understands the goodness of God and is not in competition. I'm not going to mm-hmm. be offended. I'm not going to be an offensive person, and I'm not going to be offended, and I'm going to be a positive influence, because goodness knows we we have enough of the negative outside of the church, let alone inside. We don't need it. But one of the things that I have experienced, one particular time in my life, I had there was about 5 years where I experienced multiple betrayals. My friends from very long-term friends, they were over 15, 18 years. I had known these friends. I considered them my dearest friends. They all turned on me and decided that I was not what they thought I was. And these were people that I had raised, helped raise their children. I had taught Sunday school. Mm-hmm. I had taken them to camps. We had done multiple things. These were people I loved. And all of a sudden, I started having these friendships just begin to crumble. Then I had other relationships begin to crumble, almost the same way, very much in betrayal, betrayal, betrayal. And I started seeing the pattern. And so I began to ask the Lord, okay, Father, what is going on? Because when you read the Old Testament, you read through all of these battles that God allowed to happen with Israel. And so Israel would have a battle with, let's say, the Moabites or whatever, and, they would win, and they would win, mm-hmm. and they would win. There would be peace in the land. Then all of a sudden, something would happen, and God would allow the Moabites or whateverites,
there's
a lot of them in there.
No, there was a lot of them.
Exactly. They come in and attack Israel and win and take their stuff and destroy their crops. And so when I studied through that, I thought, God, why it was Israel who love you, God, why aren't they always victorious? Why aren't they always walking in victory? Why didn't they win every war? And the Lord just began to show me, Stephanie, I work on both sides. He created all of us, whether we love God or we don't. He created us. He created us with a free will. And so when he allows us to go through a difficult situation, it's not because he hates us. It's because he loves us, and he's dealing with our heart. And I believe it's Zechariah that says, our heart is wicked. No, it's Jeremiah. Our heart is wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? That's
yes.
exactly what he says. Who can know our own heart? And it's mm-hmm. true. So while I was going through this five-year time difficulty, I was realizing that God is dealing not only on my side, but he's dealing on the other side. And I don't need to worry about how God is dealing on the other side. And my reputation, my everything was being completely destroyed. But so on my side, I was saying, okay, God, show me what you're trying to teach me and show me how. And so while my reputation and everything I had, my friendships and all of this is being destroyed, I'm just saying, God, I just thank you that you are doing a work in my life and that you are changing my heart and that you are teaching me how not to be, but you are also showing me my own wicked heart. You're showing me things in my own wicked heart so that I can repent and I can ask you to help me do better. So I learned very early on to begin to thank the Lord. And honestly, there were many days when I would say, God, I don't want to thank you for this. I'm not thankful for what I'm going mm-hmm. through. But I learned that the more thankful and the more just joy I took from him, from the Lord, because the Bible says, of all things, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And so I would say that many times, not believing it and not feeling it. But I would say it, saying, your word is true, and I'm going to stand on your word. And I made it through that time being able to love every one of those people that betrayed me and
wow.
Truly love them. And some of them don't love me to this day, and that's okay. I love them. And I can say, honestly, I can look at any of them in the face and just love, hug and love them as much as I love my children, because the Lord restored my heart. I know who I am. And that's what matters, that the Lord is dealing with my own heart. And he always deals on the other side. And the Lord is the one, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And the reason of that is because, you know, when your children do something to fight each other, you have two, I have six children, and a lot of times my children would fight. And one of them would met out punishment on another one for something that they did. Now, if I had been allowed to go ahead and punish that child for what they did, it would have been a fair punishment. But when the other child tried to do it, it
sure.
wasn't good. So that's why the Lord says, let me deal with it. Because when he deals with it, it's perfect. It's perfect. And so I learned to keep my mouth shut, to do the things that I'm to do, and to love people. And as I did that, he dealt with their side of it. And I took no joy in seeing people, struggle with God's, discipline. I take no joy in that, because I know what his discipline is, and I love it when I don't love it sometimes, but I know what it
yeah.
is when he disciplines my own self. So,
well, I have to
anyway.
Commend you for that, Stephanie. That is just amazing that you handled that situation that way. And I wanted to say also, we as Christians often, I think one of the things that we try to do is hide our true feelings from God.
Yes.
I'm really mad, but I don't want to tell him that. Well, he already knows.
It's true. He already knows. Yeah.
Well, I think
and so building a relationship with him is so key, and being able to say, I know you know how I feel, and I'm just going to say it out loud. And I yell. I don't yell because I hate God. I yell because I love God, and I don't understand
yes.
sometimes. You know, when you see a child suffering, or you see, you know, things happening, and I went out and talked to God quite a bit about the Ebola situation. I was very upset about it. And he knows, And he loves those children more than I ever can. And so when I tell him exactly how I feel and why aren't you taking care of this right now, Jesus, he already knows my heart. And so when I can say it out loud, it builds relationships.
We are so impatient. We want results now. We want things to be the way we think they should be now. We just don't understand when God doesn't see it our way.
Stephanie,
I think you answered my next question pretty much. The question I ask my guests when I take them down the road as to where their darkest hour has been, my next question is usually, what led you back to light? As far as, do you have an inspirational quote? Do you have a Bible verse that you kind of rely on? And you talked about, you mentioned a couple of verses. Is there any other one that you particularly sticks in your mind that is just like, man, I just always rely on this?
Well, the book Here I Am, The One You Love, really came fairly close after this situation that I had in my life. And I think that the thing that I knew the most and continued to understand but grew in it was, here I am, the one you love. I truly am the one you love. And I would say that to Jesus. I would say, I know you love me. I know you love me. Even though others hate me, I know you love me. And I know you're taking care of me, and I trust you. And so during deep times of discouragement and deep trial, and because I've had more trials, that wasn't the only one. I can just say that was the one that probably established how I look at every other trial.
Mm-hmm.
When somebody says something about me or somebody does something, somebody ran into my car yesterday.
Sorry.
I had just gotten, my husband had just bought this car for me. It's a Lexus.
Oh, no.
Of all things, I never dreamed I would have a Lexus. It wasn't new, it was used. And it's just, to me, it's a beautiful car. I've always driven a large truck because I had a lot of children, and so this was like my first, like, car. Mm-hmm. And somebody, I had parked to get coffee, and I was only there for 5 minutes. And when I came back out, I looked at the back of my car and I went, oh, no.
Oh,
and, you know, I was just disappointed because I was like, oh, no. And then plus I was like, oh, no, I've got time. Now I'm going to have to go file a police report. I mean, you know, it takes time from you. It steals. So now all of my stuff is just, so I'm not worried about the stuff. But immediately I turned around, and I've learned to do this. I turned around and I said, Father, bless that person who doesn't know what they did. They don't know what they did to hurt me. And Father, mm-hmm. I just bless them right now. And I just pray, God, that your blessings will be all over them today and that they will just be covered with your hand and that they'll have no more accidents. I don't know what, you know, I don't know what the situation was. Were they, were they having trouble? Were they whatever? And I don't know, but God does. And so when I put the blessings on them, then I free them up from anything the enemy could do. I want the Lord to establish his will. One thing that we teach in Fire Camp, and this is just my life thing, is your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's from right straight out of the Lord's Prayer. We want whatever is happening in heaven to be happening here on earth. And we, as believers in God, have to be those people that bring heaven to earth. Because, obviously, the world has said we don't want God, and we don't want to walk in that. But I do.
Yeah.
And I want the Father to send his Spirit here, and I want to work with him every day.
Yeah, and you know, a little shameless self-promotion here. I'm a part of a blogging community called Putting on the New, and we have a day assigned every month to do a post, and my posts are on the 8th of the month. And the post I recently did related back to a story that our pastor told in his sermon last Sunday. And it was kind of the story of these two people had been friends for years. They'd worked together for years, and they would go to lunch together. And the one guy one day said, gee, I went to church Sunday, and I learned this, and I learned that, and I learned about Jesus, and I learned that he died for my sins, and I learned all these things. And the other guy says, yeah, and he turned to him, and he says, but you don't believe any of that, do you? And the other guy kind of looked at him in shock and said, what do you mean? And he says, well, if you believe these things in all these years, why did you never share them with me?
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of based my post on that as to what are the obstacles that prevent us from sharing the gospel and what are ways that we can overcome those obstacles. So,
right.
And I think that we as Christians, we walk around expecting that everybody knows. Everybody already knows.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody
mm-hmm.
wants to hear you talk about it because they already know. And it's mm-hmm. it's really interesting, the people that you run into that are like, well, I didn't even know about all this. But once again, I'm getting off topic and time is slipping by.
No.
Stephanie, I really have some questions about your book, Here I Am, The One You Love. I'm a little bit confused. What is your target audience for that book?
Well, that is funny because I did write this for thinking that it would be for my son, who was 8 years old at the time. He's now 14.
Okay.
And I wrote that for the target audience and 8 years old. But it has been more of a godsend for all ages because it just simply, well, let me explain it this way. The Lord said to me one day, he said, Stephanie, this book is a soaking book, and if people will just open it, they will experience the presence of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that has been true. The artist who did the artwork is Lori Vafiatis. She just waits and hears from heaven for a picture, and she's just brilliant. God was doing a deep work in her heart right while we were writing the book as well. And I'm not close to her. She's in Colorado Springs, so I don't get to see her very often. But I would go and I would say, hey, what pictures do you have? And she would pull out things and I would say, you've got to be kidding. I saw this picture in a dream, or I saw this picture before I was waking up, or we were in a prayer meeting and I just saw this. And so that's how the book came together, was simply, it felt like a download from heaven. That's what we called it. And we didn't put our biography information in it even, because it was such a gift. And so I have had one of the neatest stories I have heard, because sometimes you don't hear the testimonies, but a therapist gave my book to a man who had 5 children, you know, to read to his children, but they were going through a very traumatic time. The man was not making any progress in therapy. He was very upset. And because his wife had left him with the 5 children, and they were just trying to survive. And he began to read the book to them at night. And he went back to his therapist, and he said, I cannot get through this book. It is healing my heart. And he was just weeping.
Wow.
And so it is true. It is really a book for all ages. I've had grandmothers talk to me and say, I was reading this to the grandchild, but this wasn't for the grandchild. This was for me. And so all ages. It's really an ageless book.
How many words is it, Stephanie?
Not that many. you can read it. In fact, I have a video where one of the pastor's wife read it in front of the church, and she read it in under 6 minutes. And
okay.
Yeah, because you know a children's book typically doesn't have a lot of words, but it's just the experience of the book that is powerful. And so it's a brilliant book. It's a brilliant book because not because I did it, it's because heaven sent it. That's all I can say.
Well, the reason I'm so confused is because I was looking at the Amazon link. I was going to put the Amazon link on the website,
mm-hmm.
and it shows your book for X amount of money. I can't remember how much. But then below it, it shows the same book for like $94.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like, I, you know, yeah. I was like, okay, and I thought, well, gee, you know, maybe this is like a really thick book, and I don't have the right perception of it at all. And I thought, man,
no,
Steph, you're doing pretty good if you can 40... sell that book for $95.
It's not widely distributed, and I think that's why the price goes up. And I didn't do that. I sell it for $16. I promise. Every time it's $16.
I thought, well, actually, what I thought was that there's obviously more, a lot more than what I'm seeing. That maybe this was part of a whole series of books or something, you know. But that was kind of funny. I thought, wow,
no,
you know. And I have to admit, I don't buy books very often because I get them given to me so much that I have a whole stack of books that people have given me that I am trying to read. So. But anyway, I thought, maybe I better check and see. Just maybe this is like a, you know, 300-page book or something here. I'm thinking it's a children's book.
No, it's 40 pages. It is high-quality paper. It's hardcover. It's just a quality book. It's library sewn. That was one of the things I said. I want an excellent product because owning a bookstore, I know a lot of times, especially in the children's department, the quality just goes down so low. And I said, I want an excellent product. And so I actually print in Singapore. And I just get such a brilliant deal from them. And then I can pass that savings on and we can give the book out at a decent price. So
very good. Okay. Well, I wanted to clarify that because I thought, wow. Stephanie, you mentioned, I have been on your website, and I see, excuse me, you use the term normal supernatural Christian life frequently on your website. To me, normal supernatural is almost an oxymoron. Explain the meaning of that term.
Well, I was talking about dreams and dream interpretation, we have kind of turned over that thing, the gift of dreams, to the other side and said, well, they're not from God. In fact, I've been on the reservation. That was one of our missions trips to the Native Americans, whom I love dearly. And those children had all been told that their dreams were from the devil. And I said, wait a minute. No, your dreams are from God. And so when we began to hear their dreams, we were like, oh, my goodness, these dreams really are from God. And that is worldwide. The children in India would tell me their dreams, and I would say, this is what God is saying. So normal supernatural is being able to hear or realize that God is always talking to us, always, and he always has really good things to say. And so learning to listen to God speak, because he speaks in different ways than what we he doesn't just you know how Jesus told parables in the New Testament?
Yes.
He didn't just blurt it out. He told a parable. And the reason he told a parable, he told the disciples, he says, because I want you to seek after me for the meaning. Mm-hmm. And so when we realize that he is talking to us, he's communicating to us, and we learn to listen. And I'll give you a very simple thing other than dreams. Dreams is a big one. But for a long time, I woke every morning at 3:16. And I would wake up and I would think, well, I need to pray. So I would pray. And I did that for years, 3:16 in the morning. Well, one day I was sitting in front of a stop sign and I look up and Max Lucado had just written the book, 3:16, The Numbers of Hope. And I thought, and so I stood there, or sat there in my car, staring at those huge numbers, thinking, I wake up every morning at 3:16.
Oh.
Then it dawned on me, that's my birthday, 3:16.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
And then I thought, John 3:16 is, you know, the chapter of love. God so loved the world.
Right.
And I realized, Jesus is saying, I love you, Steph.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh my goodness, I've missed it all this time. I mean, not that I missed it. Praying, obviously, is he wants to talk to you all the time. But it dawned on me, wait a minute, he really is saying something to me. And so I learned that every time I see 3:16 on the clock, I say, I love you, I love you, I love you, Jesus, the whole minute.
Wow.
And
how
then,
is that, huh?
It was just fun. And it's just kind of my playful way of saying, Jesus, I want to take this minute of the day and say I love you. And I feel like I feel the same love back. It's not just me saying I love you. It's him saying it back to me. And same thing in the middle of the night, too, 3:16. But he does speak to us in things that we see every day, numbers, colors. I tell you, I can go out, and the Bible says, look at nature and see the glory of God. And you go out in the morning, it's right now, at 4 a.m. in the morning, if you look up and you see Jupiter, Venus, mm-hmm. and Mars lined up, it has been the most brilliant sky show.
Oh, I'll have to check that out.
Oh, it's just beautiful. And it was a crescent moon with it. It was so beautiful. And I would just go out and I would say as loud as I could without waking neighbors, God, your planet is amazing. The way you do things is so amazing. And so it's really his gift to us. We can either be blessers and lovers of God, or we can be cursers and cursers of
yes.
God. And I choose to bless.
Yes.
And bless everything he does.
Stephanie, with a paltry 1.5 minutes to go, give us a real quick synopsis of your new book and when can we expect it out? I know it's about dreams.
Okay. Yes. Yes, it is, and it is aimed at the same age group, 8 to 15, probably a little bit older. It's a little bit more of a complex book. It will be a paperback, and it will be less expensive. But it is all on dreams and how dreams affect us and how we can learn to interpret our dreams and how we should attribute our dreams to God, not to the enemy. So many of our inventions have come from dreams. I don't know if you know, but the MRI machine came from a dream. E equals MC squared from Einstein came from a series of 18 dreams. There's brilliance that comes down. I think after I did this study on dreams, I was like, I wonder if we have actually thought up any new inventions or if they're just coming down from heaven, because it is amazing the stuff that has come from dreams. And this isn't new. It has happened all down through time. And the dreamer has the option. He has free will, and he can either attribute it to God or he can attribute it to his own, you know, intellect, or he can attribute it to another God or to the enemy, whatever. But we have free will in how we give credit to our dreams. But I want to teach children that very concept and then give them the opportunity to attribute their dreams to God and to ask God for the interpretation, because just as Joseph said in Genesis, he said all interpretation belongs to God, and I believe that.
Wow, what a wonderful aspiration, Stephanie. Well, I wish I could keep you on here for another half hour at least, but unfortunately, we have come to the end of our time. I want to thank you so much for spending time with us this morning, Stephanie. You have shared so much, and we appreciate that. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.
Thank you, Patty. Thank you for this opportunity. It has been a true joy. And I just say God bless you and God bless your work and the work of your hands and your audience.
Thank you so much. Goodbye now.
Goodbye.
Okay. Next week, we will have a gentleman by the name of Alan Arnold. He has a 20-year history in Christian publishing and now works with Ransomed Heart Ministries, led by John Eldridge. His passion is to help storytellers write from an awakened heart. I have listened to Alan speak at a couple of the writers' conferences I've attended. He's a wonderful speaker. Also, if there are any of you out there who have heard Alan speak and you would like him to address a certain subject, Alan has invited listeners to send any questions or topics or suggestions into the show. To do that, email me at Patty, P-A-T-T-I, .Sheen, S-H-E-N-E, at gmail.com. In closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. Want to encourage our listeners to come back next week, Tuesday morning, 8 o'clock a.m. Mountain Standard Time. Also, check out my website, patitishene.com, And there you will find any information you need about the show. If you want to listen to any other shows, they're all archived on there with links. And be sure to check out Stephanie's information, and that will be also located on the website under website and social media page. God bless you all.